amounts of data on this. How come they are disregarding that? How are they disregarding 30 years of testimony and people, like you said, who have no medical background are somehow, their views are superior to the views of the people who've spent their life researching this and educating the public. So it's a real concern of ours because the public doesn't seem to be able to make inroads. We're just having this. This is just the way that it is. So right now, DTE has threatened to shut off my power. A lot of the people in this room, you probably, if you saw a show of hands, the power, I have an analog meter. I do have a guard. I cannot live with the opt-out. I cannot live with the meter. We will have to think about going to another state that does allow for that. My husband's quite worried about that, about having to have the standoff. But you've got people now who can't live this way. So we're looking for you as our legislators to just provide us the option, the choice. Allow us to have the analog meter. There's precedent set all over the country, all over the world. This should not be a hard act to follow because there really is something fundamentally wrong with the utility being able to override my right to my health and my safety. So thank you very much. I hope that you guys will do whatever you can do in the months that you go forth to secure an analog meter for us here in Michigan. Thank you.
Andrew?
Andrew. Thank you for this hearing. I really appreciate this. I'm going to come from a little different angle. I am a teacher of 20 years in the Rochester district. For the last 8 years, though, Pam and I both, we created a program to assist students with social, emotional, and behavior needs. So my experience through that program and through my 20 years of teaching, I've had to keep significant amounts of data, raw data. So I have lots of raw data on how kids are changing over the last 20 years that I have seen. Also, within the last 8 years, I have a lot of perceptual data that we've seen. We've seen great increases, significant increases in neurological issues, high stress, high anxiety, to the extent that there's panic attacks in these kids that we are addressing. This didn't happen 10, 15 years ago, not where I taught. Now I'm seeing attention, extreme attention issues all over, whole classrooms with difficulty attending school, extreme emotional outbursts and impairments and aggression. Well, this parallels with our increase in wireless technologies and microwave radiation and our RF exposures. So my issue is children and health. So the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Canadian Society of Pediatrics both state infants age 0 to 2 years should not have any exposure to these types of technologies, and that from 3 to 18 years should be very restricted and limited. The World Health Organization classifies wireless technology as a class 2B risk, a possible carcinogen. There's others, doctors, who are stepping up and saying it should be reclassified, like Dr. Anthony Miller from the University of Toronto School of Public Health. He recommends it should be a 2A probable carcinogen. The American Academy of Pediatrics also strongly supports bills calling for more research and protection standards with radio frequency exposure, especially with vulnerable populations, including children and pregnant women. They are urging the FCC to reconsider its radiation standards. So why? Why are we doing this? Because children are disproportionately affected by environmental exposure to radiation due to differences in bone density and the amount of fluid in the children's brain, allowing children to absorb greater quantities of this radiation deeper into their brains. The average RF energy deposition is 2 times higher in developing brains and 10 times higher in the bone marrow of their skulls compared to adults.
1 minute.
Okay. So I'm going to just appeal to a little bit of logic here, too. So DTE, when they install them in our city of Rochester Hills, they compared them to cell phones. They compared them to microwaves. Okay, now let's imagine your son, your granddaughter, in bed, laying their head with it just a few feet away from or inches away from these meters or cell phones. Now, what happens when there's one, two, three? What happens if you're on those apartment complex and there's bundles, banks of 10, 20, and your child, your grandchild is on the other side of that wall? This is not healthy. This is not safe. And no one is stepping up to the plate to fix this. Okay, who's going to protect us from this continuing? Who's going to step up and say stop? We need you to step up and say stop. These young developing bodies, our kids, need someone to say stop. We can't just weigh costs. We can't weigh that with our children and their health, let alone our own. So please, give us an analog option so that we can at least protect ourselves.
All right. Thank you very much. Question. Next up, Bill McMaster, State Chairman of Taxpayers United. 3 minutes.
Again, I'm Bill McMaster with Taxpayers United, a statewide nonprofit organization. We're concerned with Dave Lonier's alert to us 2 years ago that these meters were being installed in our area, Bloomfield Township. We, about 2 months after he said that, I noticed from my, at that time, home office, some activity in the backyard, in the back of the house. So, grabbing my, it was a summer afternoon, I grabbed my shillelagh and for protection and went out in the back, and there was a guy messing with the three boxes there, including the cable TV and the computer and whatever, and I asked him what the hell he was doing, and he said that he was giving an update on the meter, and this was exactly what Lonier had alerted me was their standard operating procedure. So I told him to stop it and that I was working on the computer. I didn't want any. He said, well, I'm going to change this, and I'm not going to do it while you're standing here. So you'll have to disappear while I finish what I'm working on here. Said I'm not moving. He said it'll take 10 to 15 minutes to get your computer back working then, because it'll be disconnected. So I did move, and I regret that I did. 2 months later, there was a 20% increase in the cost of it. Nothing else had changed except the meter. In September of this year, the gas company changed the pipe from being a steel pipe, metal pipe, lead into our house to a plastic pipe. At the same time, they installed a similar meter without telling us. There are 101 people in the homes in our subdivision. Of that, 42 of them have new meters. The others have run the risk of being blown to smithereens because of leaks. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next up, Lori Ebaugh from Milford. 3 minutes.
Thank you for finally bringing this issue up. I really appreciate this. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and then a couple of observations that I've had from the comments that have already been made. I'm a Milford resident, and Milford was one of the very first Michigan communities to get the new smart meters. At the time, I didn't know anything about the negative effects of the meters, and the only notice that I found afterwards, after I finally found out, this was a little four-color advertisement that came in with my bill. And, you know, many things come in with your bills, and you kind of, like, just throw them away. I happened to keep that one with the bill. But anyhow, I didn't know that the smart meter went in. I don't know exactly when it was installed. Nobody came to us and asked us if we wanted it. It just showed up. Shortly after the meter was installed, I started experiencing the heart palpitations that have been spoken about and arrhythmia at night. I also developed insomnia and a high-pitched ringing in my ears. I did not know what that was. I went to my doctor. She did a bunch of tests. Extensive tests, couldn't find anything. I was a little worried that she was going to do invasive surgery, so I decided to find another doctor. I found a second doctor. He again did numerous tests, wasn't able to find anything, wanted to put me on beta blockers medicine. I said, why are we doing that? You haven't found anything. And then I wrote a long letter to him, which unfortunately he doesn't still have in his file, stating that, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I've been kind of sensitive to chemicals, and, you know, maybe this isn't something within my body, maybe this is something outside of it, but a lot of doctors don't know about this. And so he just kind of said, you know, if you're not going to go on the medicines I'm proposing, I can't do anything for you. So I then found a third doctor, a naturopathic, although he has an MD, holistic doctor. And he, too, went through a lot of different tests and tried putting me on all kinds of different vitamins and whatnot, and nothing worked, and he had no clue of what was going on. So at that point, since he was not covered by my insurance, I thought, enough money spent here. I'm going to find out on my own. And I started doing my own research and discovered this could be a smart meter. Sure enough, it was on my house. Now what do I do? I wasn't connected to anybody in this room. I didn't know that much about smart meters. I called DTE. They said, well, we can do this opt-out thing where we'll turn it off. And I thought that might be the answer. I said, okay, fine. You know, I'm desperate. I wasn't sleeping through the night. I was trying to find a place where I could, I was trying to find a place in my house where I could sleep, because I did find there was sometimes a place where I could get a little bit of a nap here and there. I was moving around to different rooms. I was sleeping in the foyer, basement, in a closet. At one point, I discovered that my arrhythmia had a rhythm to it, which is how I found out about this whole smart meter thing. Anyways, I went for the opt-out, meanwhile, it took 3 months for that to get turned off. I don't know why. 3 months. Then I knew that it was the smart meter, so I started sleeping away from my home, and I found that when I slept away from my home, I was fine. I was lucky enough to have a sister who has a seasonal cottage, summer cottage, that didn't have a smart meter. She didn't have any furniture in it, so for 3 months I slept on the floor in a sleeping bag. When I got the opt-out meter, I also started finding out about, I became electromagnetically sensitive, found out that there's a shielding fabric.
30 seconds.
Okay, that I could get. I sleep under a canopy now. My question is, for people who can't afford the cost of the opt-out meter, which is a $67 original, and then $9 for the rest of my life, who can't afford the very expensive shielding canopy that I sleep under, what do they do? What do you do with fixed-income people, low-income people, who have these heart problems or who have the problems that I've had and can't afford this? There's got to be an option for them that doesn't cost. Why not go back to the analog meter? Thank you.
Thank you. Donald Hillman, PhD from, Citizens of Michigan, East Lansing. Get three or four minutes.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of slow.
It's all right.
I, Donald Hillman, Professor Emeritus in Animal Science at Michigan State University, have helped over 100 farmers with problems from stray voltage, and together with authors have proven peer-reviewed C-Section 1, Exhibit 1, that the Michigan Public Service Commission and the power companies measure only volts, voltage peak current, not voltage peak to peak. Therefore, they miss half or more of the radiation. See Exhibit 2. My first experience with smart meters was in April of 2012, when a farmer had been involved in two stray voltage court cases, winning both, and who suffers from thyroid cancer, came to my home and told me of his soon-to-be granddaughter, who would be fine at her grandmother's home and has it, but became erratic when in her own playroom and bedroom in Ferndale, Michigan. He asked me if I thought it might be stray voltage. I was ill at the time, so I told him to take my measuring instruments and filters and find out. The girl's thyroid, according to Beaumont Hospital, had become inactive. The case was reported in my article, Effects of Extraneous Electricity on Dairy Cattle, Other Animals, and Humans, a Guide for Dairymen, Veterinarians, and Investigators of Stray Voltage, Exhibit 3. It has been peer-reviewed and is in print by SciTechnical in the Journal of Veterinary Science and Medical Diagnosis. Recently, during an educational meeting on smart meters at the Hanna Community Center in East Lansing, I measured 1,208 GS frequencies and demonstrated filtering with a GS meter as used in Exhibit 3. In fact, I did that in this room today. Since my retirement from Michigan State University in 1982, I've been continually called to measure dirty electricity. It has been hard on my health. I have had 2 quadruple bypass surgeries, diabetes, surgery on both eyes for pressure buildup, prostate cancer, a stroke, and cancer on the lower eyelids of both eyes. My stroke occurred while measuring radiation October 23, 2012, from smart meters in 4 homes in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I worked with Attorney General Michael Moody in PSC case 11684, and his briefs and exceptions to Judge Nickerson were excellent. He reported the problem accurately, but the MPSC voted him down. Attorney Bill Schutte has argued that residential meters should be given a meaningful and fair opportunity to opt out of having a smart meter installed without being penalized by warranted and excessive charges. Finally, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has been studying and treating the effects of the environment on health for over 50 years, and have prepared a human health position paper summary. See Exhibit 5. Please read it and take the required action to make our state more healthy by your prompt action.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Seeing no questions, Carol Garcia from Rochester Hills.
Chairman McMillan, thank you for the hearing. Committee members, thank you for your time and for staying late to hear our voices. My name is Carol Garcia. I live in Rochester Hills, Michigan. I'm here to talk about the health issues and how they have affected me since being exposed to these monster meters. I moved to Rochester Hills 2 years ago to be closer to my son so that when they have children, I can help them. And I started getting deadly sick. After about 2 to 3 months, I start really feeling the effects, and I didn't know why. And before that, I was very healthy. I mean, I eat organic food, et cetera, workout and all that. And so I started going to my doctors, and they were like, they did blood work and everything. They couldn't find out what was going on. And I'm not one to take medications. And so I started to get every day bloody nose, headache, vertigo, nausea, chest palpitations, insomnia, fatigue. And this is on and on and on. So I start going to my doctors, and they know me, and they've come to the conclusion that I am electrosensitive, and I cannot be around these smart meters. I have 2 medical MD doctors out of Beaumont Hospital, one in the oncology department, one internal medicine, and I have another one, Dr. Zybron. So I have Dr. Dillon, Dr. Zybron, and Dr. Howard out of Beaumont Hospital, and all 3 of them have stated that they do not want me to have these smart meters on my home. And they just revised my medical documents, which state they want these immediately off of my house. So you guys, I gave you the envelopes up there, and I would like that to be on record. Also, one of the doctors wrote a letter to be put on record, and I'm going to read it. It's to the state legislatures, Lansing, Michigan, dated November 17th. This letter is regarding my experiences with smart meters and the effects of my patients. Recent published research shows that the devices emitting radiation, smart meters, cordless phones, smartphones, at certain frequencies can cause arrhythmia, heart damage, impaired mental function. Damages to the health can occur at levels thousands of times below radiation levels. The FCC considers harmful. It causes headaches, dizziness, ringing in the ears, nausea, insomnia, and many more issues, health issues. I have dozens of patients, some who I have known for over 15 to 20 years, who had generally good health, and we do watch closely with blood tests, urine tests, etc., who suddenly developed symptoms right after smart meters were installed. They suffer with headaches, insomnia, and even in some cases, seizures. Therefore, in conclusion, I recommend that there be no smart meters. Opting out doesn't help. The meter is installed, but the frequency is supposedly turned off. Several patients experience symptoms anyway. Perhaps Michigan should follow the lead of Oregon, Washington State, and Canada, where meters were totally outlawed. When you think of the thousands of people adversely affected, what choice do we have? P.S. And it is not just certain sensitive people affected, but Dr. Klinghart has shown blood changes in every person, whether they are aware of it or not. And I have a friend right now who has a mother with a pacemaker, and her daughter is having seizures. And she told me to bring this up as well. DT never asked her if she wanted a smart meter, never told her that they were going to install it.
30 seconds.
So I just wanted to put that on record as well. Sure. There's many people suffering for this. So I'm coming before you. Please, please, as our representatives, please help us so that we have a choice and we have an option, because right now we don't. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All three of them?
Okay.
All right, Teresa Doza?
You want to see this, sir?
Yes, I want that out.
I don't know.
What yes, we do.
Oops, sorry. My name is Melissa Cardin. This is Teresa Doza. She's a little nervous about reading her statement. So if you don't mind, with her permission, I'm going to read what she's written and tell you what this is all about.
And it's 3 minutes, and Teresa's from Muskegon, right?
Correct.
Okay.
On November 23rd, 2013, Teresa was ready to go to bed and heard a noise and looked out the window next to the door. She didn't see anything, so she went to the back door and didn't see anything. So she opened up the basement door and walked a few steps and seen smoke coming from the meter. So she went to the next door neighbor's house and then called 911. The fire department came and put out the fire. They drove around her house all night to make sure that the fire would not start up again. The fire department investigated it and found that the smart meter was where the fire had started. Now she can't live in her home, and she's lived there for 86 years. She was born in the home, and never before the smart meters were put on her home did she have a problem. A friend took her into their home after the fire and then moved into a senior She then moved into a senior housing complex. She cannot live in her home. The smart meters were put on her home, and this is what caused the fire. The fire department has stated so. The Consumers Energy, though, investigated it, and they said that that was not possible. There's the evidence.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you. Can these two come up? Jim and Melissa Carden.
Good job.
Well, there.
I'm Melissa Carden.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and this is my husband, Jim.
Okay.
We came with Teresa.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to help her out. She was a little shaky and was a little concerned about doing that.
Okay.
I have a statement that I have submitted for the report, and I have a statement. I'll read my statement now. I also have submitted pictures of our meters. Because we are in an unusual situation, I wanted you to see what the proximity of the meters are to our bedroom. My name is Melissa Carden. I live in Muskegon County with my husband, Jim. Our health has been compromised by the smart meters. My husband has epilepsy, and it has been triggered by lack of sleep. He had been almost seizure-free for 3 years. He would have maybe one a year before the smart meters were installed in our neighborhood, which took place in April of 2012. The first type of meter had a solid light, which consumers replaced because it was sending a constant signal. We then decided to opt out, and so did our neighbor to the south of us. Then, for some reason, they changed their mind and had it reinstalled before they had to pay the fee. My husband and I are low income, so that $70 fee plus the $10 per month that we have to pay is significant. I have brought photos of the meters of our house as well as our immediate neighbors, and we are in an unusual situation, as I just spoke of, because all three meters are directly in line with each other and also with our bedroom. From April of 2012, oh, and by the way, I already went down our road, and we are the only house on our road like that, where all three meters are focused right at our bedroom. My husband, as of April of 2012, started having problems with more neuropathy in his legs. The pain got so bad that I ended up taking him to the ER, where he was given shots and pills to relieve his pain. At one point, he even asked the doctor to just cut off his legs. He was told, of course, they would not do that. His first seizure was in April, about 2 weeks after they installed the meter. We both have higher blood pressures. Mine's normally questionable because it's always so low, and doctors go, is this normal? The anger and aggravation escalates faster in our home. Small issues become large issues. The pills and the capsaicin cream that were used to help his legs relax worked. A few weeks after the meter was installed, he started having seizures. I requested that our old analog meter be replaced with the smart meter, but we still have a digital meter. Consumers Energy sent out two of their engineers to check out the meters. I thought that they were going to measure radio magnetic waves, but instead they measured using a meter that looked like it was from the 1960s measured in milligauss. They gave us a report, however, and the information was from 2002. I was a college student, and this paper would have been thrown out had I used this for research. However, when asked for a written report on what their findings were, they said that there was no need to write a report because there was nothing of significance. In May of 2014, we went to Colorado Springs to visit our daughter and her family. We were gone 2 weeks. During that time, we were sleeping in strange beds in strange places, but my husband was able to sleep every night. The first night, we were in St. Louis in a motel. The mattress was very uncomfortable, but no meters focused at our bed. The next night, we were in Natoma, Kansas, which is a pin drop on the mat of a place, and he slept on a quilt that was about an inch and a half thick on a hardwood floor, but yet slept 8 hours. No smart meters. The next day, we were at our daughter's house, and we slept on an air mattress in our granddaughter's bedroom with her other daughter, who is developmentally disabled and has breathing issues, so she's very noisy when she sleeps. There are also 3 kids, 5 adults, 2 dogs, so not a quiet home to be in, but yet he slept. We were home for just a few days when he went back to not being able to sleep, and he has had an average of 1 seizure per month each time he has a seizure, it affects not only his body but his mind. He gets frustrated very easily and sometimes has difficulty explaining things to you. Okay. Physically, right. He has fallen down steps and broken ribs.
Okay. Thank you. And James, you wanted 3 minutes?
I'll tell you just a couple things because she's already explained. My brain doesn't work real good. I've had brain surgery and I've had Vietnam's orange stuff that they thought that was okay to use too. So I just want you to understand these people are here because they feel they have to be. It's not just to be a protest of things. It's because they feel they have to be to save the future of our children.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Next up, Lisa Middlecamp Lauder and David Lauder. Did you? Okay.
Thank you very much, Representative McMillan. Your insight on this issue is evident. Thank you for bringing it to everyone's attention, and thank you for the rest of the committee for being here. In April of 2013, a smart meter was installed on our house in Muskegon. We never got any of this blue and green propaganda cards that the Consumers Energy people had said that we were supposed to get. When we found out that we had it, we immediately called Consumers Energy. They said that we could opt out, and they'd be out the next week. The following week, they did put an opt-out meter on. They didn't put our analog meter back on when we weren't home. Since that time, we've had several electrical issues that no one can explain. The first was, without even being set, our alarm system. The siren went off in the middle of the night for no reason. The security people said they couldn't find anything, so they decided to change the battery. They did say they'd never seen a battery make a siren go off before. It was an electrical anomaly. 2 weeks later, the siren went off again, so they changed the motherboard. 1 month later, they had to disable the unit and the temperature sensor on it to try to figure out what was causing the problem, and they never did. I started thinking about that time, wondering if it could be the smart meter, so I called Consumers Energy and asked for an analog meter. They said they weren't available, they're obsolete. My husband called and was told that he would have an expert from the smart meter department call back. They never did. 2 days later, our 4-year-old washer had a motor power overload. We had to replace the part. The very next day, the security alarm started beeping, and during the conversation with the security company, the alarm code went away, and the owner of the company said that code just does not go away on its own. 2 months later, the water heater, 5-year-old tankless water heater, died. We called Consumers, asked them to please put the analog meter back on. Again, someone will call us back. To this day, no one has. 3 months later, we lost a 4-year-old freezer. At that time, I then had the Wi-Fi removed from the house. And we don't have smartphones. We don't use the microwave. We have a landline. I mean, we're old school. 2 months later, a battery-operated toy in the closet went off in the middle of the night for no reason. Then just a week and a half ago, the security alarm went off indicating a lack of the connection. The security alarm owner went and did a download, and he said that the unit continues to reset itself, and there is no explanation for it.
1 minute.
Okay. So There is no functional difference between the analog meter and the opt-out meter. According to the utility companies, both measure our electrical usage and both require a meter reading, which we are paying for. So we definitely just want our analog meter back. I want to thank you all for listening, and we look forward to having our basic rights respected.
Thank you, David.
Yes, I just want to say thank you very much. I really don't have much to add. I've heard so much that that we've experienced and seen in our lives, and I would just like to have the choice, just the choice. You know, and it's just unbelievable in this country that that they can come onto my property, take something off, put something on that might affect my health, my safety, my privacy, and they can just do that. It just blows my mind. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you. John and Pauline Holton? Oh, they left, okay. April Jones from Shelby. And I think the folks that were just up are from Muskegon, is that right? Yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to tell part of my story. My name is April Jones. I live in Shelby, currently in Shelby Township. Prior to that, in 2011, DTE installed two wireless meters on my home, a gas meter on the front, electric meter to the back of the house. I then began to experience symptoms, headaches, sharp pains to my head, dizziness, insomnia, extreme fatigue and exhaustion, depression, anxiety, agitation, nausea, joint and muscle pain, tingling, memory issues. I also was a cardiac patient prior to this, and I started having palpitations, increased chest pains, arrhythmia, and shortness of breath. I began to suffer at my job. The pain, fatigue, memory, concentration issues were so severe that they wanted to fire me from my position. I had to see a doctor. The symptoms were so severe that I became bedridden. My doctor said that she had diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. In my home, I had noticed a smell coming from the basement, and later learned that there was a mold issue, and a doctor had told me that, according to research, that electromagnetic fields and poor power quality and radio frequencies can create an increase in the biotoxicity of mold to 600 times. To make a long story short, that small mold issue turned into black toxic mold. Along with the health issues from the smart meter and the black toxic mold, I had to leave my home, lost it, never to return back to this. I ended up in the streets in a hotel. I stayed in the hotel for 3 months until I could find another place to live. Being on pending disability, I was short on income. I ended in a hotel. I found another place to live, and I asked whether or not they had smart meters there. I had begun to put the connect the dots as to what was happening and forced me out of my home, causing my issues. Thank you. The apartment complex said they had no smart meters. When I went to live there, I began to get real sick again, so severe that I could no longer stay in the apartment building. I found smart meters. There were 26 smart meters installed on one floor. There was an 8-story apartment complex building, so that's over 200 meters installed inside one senior citizen's building. I ended up living in my car for 30 days because my next pay for Social Security would not hit till the next month. I could not live with friends or families because they had smart meters installed. With the situation that I have, medical situation, I cannot live in a facility with a smart meter. I like to put into the record the medical letters from my two doctors addressing the issue of having to move because of the smart meters. I finally ended to Shelby Township, where they have a resolution dealing with the issues on the smart meters there. my pain doesn't end there because I am also electric. I suffer from EMF. I'm an electromagnetic frequency. I suffer pain from machinery. My refrigerator compressor issues pain to my body if I run the washer and dryer.
Time's up.
I'm sick right. from that. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Donna Menasseri, I didn't know that. Is Donna? Oh, okay. Your husband, I would have had you come up with your husband. 1 minute. All right. I'm moving those with 1 and 2 minutes up to the file.
Everybody here is thanking you, but I would like to thank DTE for giving me this chronic illness of tinnitus, and I look forward to the day when they, their representatives, experience some of these symptoms. Thank you.
Cynthia Edwards from Ann Arbor Smart Meter Education Network. Is she here?
My name is Cynthia Edwards from Ann Arbor. I was also an intervener on the opt-out case at MPSC, and I just want to say for the record that my health is not insignificant. I'm reading this statement from Linda Kurtz, who is the head of the Smart Meter Education Network, because she can't be here today due to the high levels of radio frequency in the building, because it makes her quite ill. So the following is her statement. As head of the Smart Meter Education Network, I have received hundreds of phone calls from people whose health has been affected by smart meters and opt-out meters. About 60% of the people I talked to did not know a smart meter had been installed on their home when they began experiencing health problems. These people essentially represent a blind study, their health problems beginning immediately following the installation of the meter. The study is blind because they didn't know the meter had been installed, yet still became ill. The people affected, including myself, are ordinary citizens who were living ordinary lives until smart meters were installed on our homes. Most of us certainly were not activists, but we are now. We are sick, fighting for our health, and in some cases, our lives. We are asking for something very simple: retention of the analog meter on our home and the use of the analog as the opt-out meter. Keeping our analog meter costs DTE less than installing the new smart meter. In fact, it costs nothing. We know our brains, our hearts, and our bodies are electromagnetic, so think of EKGs. It's no wonder the electromagnetic fields from smart and digital meters can affect us. The many problems caused by these meters can be somewhat explained scientifically by looking at the effect they have on calcium ions in the body. These are charged electrified particles. Calcium ions play a critical role in the transmission of nerve signals. When calcium ions are knocked off the cell wall, a host of problems result, such as much of what you've heard today. Numerous scientific studies have shown that pulsed electromagnetic fields like those produced by smart and digital opt-out meters do exactly that. They actually knock calcium ions off the cell membrane. As with many diseases and ailments, we don't know why some people are immediately and severely affected and others aren't, because no one has yet studied it. However, science now indicates that over the long term, huge numbers of us will ultimately be affected by these pulsed electromagnetic fields. But even if you don't believe that you will be affected, those of us who are need to be safe in our homes now. The analog meter is safe, and I've never experienced health problems from it. It doesn't take rocket science to see that the installation of a new technology on people's homes is causing changes in their health. Very few people in Michigan were complaining they felt ill inside their own homes prior to the installation of a smart meter. Over half the people that have been affected did not know, literally some for 3 years, that a smart meter had been installed on their home, yet they developed debilitating symptoms and continued to be ill. Remember when smoking, asbestos, lead, and mercury were considered safe? Remember how 20 years ago Gulf War Syndrome was discounted by scientists and the military as being in people's heads? And then it was discovered that the illness was caused by a variety of microwave and chemical exposures on the battlefield. So this is the early days for smart meters and increased RF worldwide, and people's symptoms are also being discounted. But the question isn't whether smart meters and opt-out meters are affecting people, and the question really isn't even how. The question is, why are we installing a dangerous technology on people's homes which has had no long-term health testing, when it is already clearly having a damaging effect on so many people's health right now?
30 seconds.
Regardless of the inadequate and out-of-date FCC safe exposure standards from the 1960s. So until these meters can be made safe, if they can, those who are affected need the analog meter. We need to be safe in our homes. It's a basic right of every citizen in our democracy, and we ask and implore you and expect you, our elected officials, to protect us and the right to our health and safety.
Thank you. Next up is Barbara Galster from Shelby Township. Barbara, are you here? I don't know if she's in the other room. Nope. Next up, then, if Barbara's here, please come. Carol Dunnenberg from Allegan. Are you here? No. Rose Kropik from Dearborn Heights. Oh boy, okay. June James from Clinton Township. Oh, I got a poll. Brenda Kutsis from Clinton Township. Is Brenda here? No. Ross Michael Bauman from Macomb. Bowman, you here? All right. You want to testify?
I just want to say in front of everybody here.
Well, no, you'd have to come up to the. Okay, you can go ahead and.
Yeah, it's just about we're all here for basic freedom and liberty. And if we allow the government to take over our lives, it's wrong. So I want to thank everybody for coming here, taking your time, and hope we can get more support. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. James Tokarski. Mr. Tokarski, there you are. From Rochester Hills.
First of all, Tom, Representative Tom McMillan, I want to thank you for giving us, affording us this opportunity, because as you know, there were many attempts made through other committees that should have took up this issue, that it never made it past the committee chairman. They refused to take it up. Therefore, it was your efforts to allow us to have a forum in which we have a say. Now, my issue with the smart meter has to do with the privacy issue. Now, as far as my living in Oakland County, the smart meters have been installed, but I did my due diligence when this issue first came to light, and I studied the issue. Since if the privacy issue is what I kept on coming back to, I sent a letter to DTE early in the process, told them I did not want this meter, and therefore I was rejecting it. I followed that up with a phone call by talking to a person. And then the day that the companies that were given the opportunity to put these meters in showed up in my neighborhood, I happened to be home. So I went to them and I gave them my address. I said, you will not put that meter in my home, period. So it was not put on. As of today, I have not received any feedback from DTE, but according to the testimony that we've received here tonight, apparently I'm looking forward to losing my electricity, because basically I've told DTE, as long as I own that home or I'm alive, that meter will not go on my home. Now, a recent issue that is kind of related to this, if people would remember, there was a shutoff issue in Detroit recently, where they were shutting off the water bill, the people's water, because they would not pay their bills. The United Nations chose to intervene in this, saying this was a human right to have water. So my question is, what are they going to say in this instance when I get my electricity shut off, I have well water, which is run by pump used by electricity. That gets shut off. I not only lose my electricity, I'm also losing my water. Not that I agree with the United Nations coming in to our country and dictating how we run our country, but they chose to do it with Detroit and the water issue, so what are they going to do about this? Last of all, the testimony that was given tonight that reflects both what I feel about the privacy issue in the smart meter was given by Dick Montessori. So I ditto his testimony.
Thank you. Next up, Paul Kitzman. Is Paul here?
He's here.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for your time.
You're from Bangor?
Bangor, Wisconsin, yeah.
Oh, Wisconsin, okay.
And I also want to thank some of the people who organized this meeting so that they asked me to testify. First of all, I feel there's no way anyone can do justice and speak on such a complex topic in 3 to 5 minutes. I deal with electrical. I'm a technician with power quality and so on, and I understand the position you're in, too, so I'm not faulting anyone. I look forward in working with you on this serious topic regarding public health and safety in the future. Secondly, and I want to be up front, the more the utilities demand and force these wireless devices onto private property and people's homes, the more business it will generate for my profession. However, I believe in being upfront and ethical, and as a matter of integrity, public health and safety is far more important and paramount to any profit. I do not have any stock in any utility advocating and forcing this wireless technology onto people, nor any investments in the companies manufacturing these wireless devices, as well as any company developing and or selling the software to operate these devices. In the same spirit of full disclosure, I request complete and full disclosure from any and all government officials, Public Service Commission members, anyone that is involved in the decision-making process of this issue to completely and publicly disclose any financial interest they have with any all of these matters. The more I've researched this so-called smart grid is without question a money tree, and quite frankly, I again request that everyone involved in this matter put the public health and safety above any profit and simply follow the money. The research, there's so much from the manufacturers of the meters, what these things can do now, what they're going to do. It's just amazing. My training is as an electrician that specializes in consulting and identifying power quality and electrical issues as well as mitigation. I grew up on a small organic farm years before the word organic became mainstream, where my parents had the foresight of how certain chemicals can cause serious and adverse health issues, where now this is a topic that is mainstream. And I have learned that microwave radiation, which is the frequencies of these meters, is very similar to the chemical exposure and the whole concept of the organic. And I'm asking that we have foresight into looking into technology before it possibly could be too late for us to turn things back to normal. I also work with computers and information technology with networking. And I formerly worked with and taught gifted learners. Working with technology, with the computer industry, I have never heard of any concerns raised with microwave radiation, because that's what this is. These frequencies, the wireless routers, the DEC 6 phones, the advanced metering, that's what this is. And I'd never heard anything about it on safety issues. But as I started working with different clients, situations this past year, I have come to realize that there are people, like people with special needs, with handicaps or food allergies and so on.
30 seconds.
They have special needs, and they're being affected by this microwave radiation, which is what it is. Now, when we look at these health safety reports, nothing has been discussed yet, from what I've heard, that we have to compare apples to apples. There's different manufacturers of meters. They use different frequencies. They do all fall in the microwave radiation frequency bandwidth. And the military has even documentations on microwave radio sickness, which was news to me being in the IT world. I love technology, but I do think we need to make absolutely sure it's safe for everyone and the future, obviously, for the exposure to children and so on. I had a few more comments, but, Tom, I do have a few questions I would like entered into the record. I believe they gave them to John, your assistant,
okay. Your
legislative aide, and I'll have to wrap it up to that due to the time. But I would be willing to work with you on the technical end because I do have about $20,000 in investment
in equipment to measure power quality, digital signatures, and so on, and can help clarify what exactly these meters can do, and then also tie in how it affects or can affect the person with the microwave radiation frequencies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anthony and Carissa Kazmierczyk from Macomb, Michigan. Okay. Christina Scarpella from Dearborn. Dorothy Bean.
Dorothy and some of her friends are seniors and a little concerned about driving home. They have a long way to go. And she was going to read the resolutions that have been passed. Can I do that for her real quick? It's very brief.
Read all the whole resolutions or just
the
cities?
No, the city's passed resolution.
Sure.
Asking for a hearing.
That would be fine.
So this is for Dorothy Bean.
Okay.
City of Taylor, this is a resolution requesting a hearing on the house bills. Okay. City of Taylor passed a resolution. Wayne County Republican Committee passed a resolution. The City of Allen Park, 12th District Republican Party resolution. Presque Isle County Republican Party passed a resolution. And the Clinton County Republican Party passed a resolution. Also, the Gratiot County Republican Party. And also, there's 27 municipalities that have passed resolutions against smart meters. They're in here on this list, and I'm going to submit it in the record. And also, really briefly, some other people left. They wanted to testify. They're asking that their letters be entered into the record. Can I give this information
sure.
to the clerk?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Darren Schmidt from Ann Arbor, are you here?
He left.
Nancy Abney from Canton. You asked for 5. I can give you 3, 3.5. Okay.
I'll try to be brief. There's so much that I would like to talk about. Thank you all for enabling us to have a voice. I've been voiceless for this whole year and a half. I've been trying to tell people about this problem. I would like to say out up front that there's privacy cost updating of this unsafe technology that has caused numerous fires and resulting deaths that I'm very concerned about, but I don't have time to address those at this moment. Again, my name is Nancy Abney. I have been trying to have my voice heard. DTE demanded I take their AMI meters. I have no choice, they said. Why is it that an unproven technology is thrust upon the state of Michigan residents invading our homes and neighborhoods? I live in a condominium. 99.9% of the units in our complex have 10 or more AMI meters on them. Because they're on a mesh network, they all transmit information from one to another. I tested my meters and found a spike in electricity every 1.5 to 2.5 minutes. This spiked or pulsed electricity is detrimental to health. This is a constant on, and this is constant on the so-called radio-off meter, which is the name in itself is a misnomer. You know, don't let it confuse you. It's the same as the AMI meter. They call it an opt-out. What kind of an opt-out is that? That meter is a Centron meter with all the same capabilities and features as the AMI meter. On numerous occasions, I've asked DTE for studies that prove their smart meters are safe. They say that, they have research, but they refuse to share it. How good is research that corporations do with lots of money is involved when corporations are not required to have supporting independent research? There's a lot of deception going on here.
1 minute.
I would say DTE uses a lot of sales spin from a professional marketer. I can see it a mile away. The day DTE installed AMI meters in my neighborhood, it was like a stealth operation. We had 1 week notification that they may be there eventually, and all units descended at once. The lies began. The installers were instructed to tell people that this was simply an upgrade. Take it or pay more. They used fear and trepidation and are continuing to do so. In most cases, they didn't even tell people they were changing out the meters. They just did it. This is corporate greed and power and deception at its worst. And let me get to the health issue because I think it's very important. I have suffered a great amount of health problems since these meters were installed. Maybe because I have more than one. Who knows? But they're blanketing a small community and everywhere you go. I have ongoing tinnitus that actually starts in my driveway and doesn't stop until I leave my house. So I know it's from there. I've had numerous other problems that I won't go into, but I do have a doctor's note that I would like to submit into the record from my doctor, Dr. Paula Davey, who is an internist. And I also want to say that I am a small case study for this.
Okay, if you could wrap it up, I need to.
I will wrap it up. Okay. I'm sorry. What are you going to do about people who also have family members with pacemakers or any kind of metal device that's inside of them? We know that metal devices in the body attract EMF fields, and the increased intensity causes hot spots, which are detrimental to health. So I implore you to please take this point seriously. I appreciate your time and consideration, and ask you to really look at everything and do your homework, because there's no way I can, or all these people can, share enough details with you. But the information is out there, and we ask that you please consider it carefully. Thank you.
Keith Thornton from Sturgis, are you here? Keith is here. She's coming up. I'll read off some of the Margaret Parker does not wish to speak, opposes smart meters. Alice Kitson from DeWitt opposes smart meters. Nancy Fuller Conklin from Conklin, Michigan.
I'm here to represent my daughter, who's 40 years old. She's been diagnosed with multiple chemical sensitivity. In a nutshell, what that means is anything with a smell or scent to it makes her ill. Perfumes, colognes, hairsprays, paints, glues, and the list goes on and on. I am not here to try to make consumers' power, bottom line, look better. I'm here to save my daughter's life. That's why I am here. Her health is very fragile, and I'm concerned, and of course she's concerned, that a smart meter might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. In other words, the thing that will kill her. We have heard repeated testimony about all kinds of health issues, yet these utilities companies tell us there's no problem. If that is true, then we have a room full of 120 nutcases. I can't believe the blind eye that our government and our utilities are turning against the people of this state. It's time to wake up. These people repeatedly tell what's the problem. Power companies continually deny it. Like one person said, we used to not worry about asbestos, lead paint, formaldehyde, and now we know better. This is the new issue. Hopefully, if we accomplish anything today, is to alert the public, who most of them are ill-informed or not informed at all, that this is a potential deadly problem.
1 minute.
I'm asking the state government to get off their duff and do something. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next up is Diana Osterman from South Haven.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity. My name is Diana Osterman. Before retiring, I worked for 22 years at AT&T and Bell Labs, which later became Lucent Technologies. The last 8 years of my career there, I worked in wireless product management. And towards the end, I investigated the progress of various complementary technologies, developed information regarding what was required for the company to be successful in wireless, and then presented that information to wireless carriers in various countries. At no time was I ever provided information regarding possible health effects of wireless radio frequency radiation, RFR. A few years ago, a friend who knew my background asked me to research the health effects of wireless smart meters. I was shocked by what I learned. Since then, I've given presentations on this information in several states. I'm here to speak about the health harm caused by wireless smart meters. These meters subject everyone to chronic, low-level microwave radiation. They cause immediate symptoms in some people. Others become electrosensitive in a relatively short time, and they do some form of health damage to everyone, whether they recognize it or not. According to Dr. Magda Havas of Trent University in Canada, 30% of the population is likely to have mild to moderate electrosensitivity, and I will say so much so that many of them are not aware of what's causing their symptoms. 3% are so severe that they've become disabled, and you've heard from some of these stories in the room here. So they are so disabled, and these numbers are growing. Dr. Richard Conrad, a PhD in biochemistry, designed a survey investigating possible correlations between smart meters and health effects. There were over 200 survey respondents from around the world. Some significant survey conclusions are that 82% of his respondents were in good or excellent health before the smart meters were installed, 42% of them developed symptoms prior to any knowledge a smart meter was present. He has stated, I've talked to him on the phone a number of times, he has stated that there's something about the way these meters work, the type of wireless radio frequency of the smart meters that is extremely sensitizing to people's health, that people become electrosensitive much quicker from that than almost anything else he knows of, and he functions as a consultant in this area. Part of why the radio frequency signals are so detrimental is that each meter can pulse as much as 190,000 times per day. This is per Pacific Gas and Electric testimony under oath, and later Sacramento Municipal Utility testified 240,000 times per day. It is this rapid pulsing that is causing the problem, and this is different from other things that use a wireless signal. It is totally different from a microwave oven. A microwave oven is a very carrier wave, a continuous wave. It is not this rapid fire pulsing. So it's a very different situation, and industry tries to trivialize these pulses by saying they are less powerful than other commonly used wireless devices, such as cell phones and microwave ovens. I want to say that the FCC limits claim that this is safe, but all that the limits protect you from by their own wording is shock and burn. That's if it doesn't burn you, they call it safe, or at least they permit it. So there are harm happening that the FCC is turning a blind eye to, and that's why their levels are so ridiculously high. According to physicist microwave expert Barry Trower, there is a further problem with young girls. Microwave irradiation has shown to damage the genetic structure in their ovaries. Girls are born with all the eggs they need in their ovaries at birth. The problem here is that damage to the mitochondrial DNA, the genes inside the ovaries, is irreparable. If you have a little girl who damages through this mechanism the genetic structure in one of her eggs and has a daughter, that daughter will carry that genetic problem because it's irreparable, and so on and so on. Even the World Health Organization has said, okay.
All right, thank you. Jackie, thank you very much. Jackie Ryan. Jackie Ryan from Sterling Heights here?
No.
She opposes smart meters. Waldemar Trzynski from Shelby Township?
Yes, sir.
Okay. As he's coming up, I'll read some others that don't want to speak. Joe Cagnon from Macomb opposes smart meters. Brenda Branch from Taylor. Chuck Caracelli from Clinton Township. Patricia Wiegen from Lenox, Michigan. Okay, Waldemar?
Mr. Chairman,
thanks a lot for being here, members of the committee. Thank you. I understand it's late, and we appreciate very much that you are listening to us. I got aware about this problem about a month ago. Started to research, and this is why I cannot believe that the representatives of the industry didn't have the guts to go and research. I started to develop some symptoms, but I wasn't really aware about. I own successful business. I bought condominium that is live and work. Upstairs are living quarters. Downstairs we have working area. This is what it represents. I discovered that on the wall that is adjacent to the desk where I used to work, there were six smart meters. I called DTE. They came. They put sticker that no radio frequency anymore, but those other fives, I don't have rights to do actually about this anything. And I would like to ask also Michigan Public Service Commission what you have done about this, sir. Okay. Oh. My workplace looks like this right now. Empty desks. I design automotive lighting. Tail lamps and headlamps. Right now there are empty desks. And why? Because I have discovered that this watch is so-called safe. It's not safe. The exposure to those smart meters is, to one smart meter is equivalent to 160 cell phones. As you can see on this chart, the maximum radiation, it's 0.25 of micro watts per square centimeter, while the smart meter at the 3 feet distance has 40 of those micro...
30 seconds.
That means I was, at the time that I work, I was exposed to 960 cell phones. If you are saying that this is healthy, it's beyond me. Now about those so-called safety limits by established by FCC in 70s. They established those based on, they check about the heating of the tissue. And the limits in for U.S. are 601, while Swiss has 4.2, and Swedish limits are 10.
Okay. Sir, you need to wrap it up. So thank you.
I have only one thing to read. Nikola Tesla, who developed the alternating current and generators. He wrote, "Everyone should consider his body as priceless gift from the one who loves above all. A marvelous work of art, and indescribable beauty, a mystery beyond human conception. And so delicate that the word, a breath, a look, a nay, it may damage it." Thank you.
All right, thank you. Is Leslie Glapa, G-L-A-P-A here? I don't know. What city are you from?
I'm from Dexter.
Dexter, okay.
Thank you so much for having this hearing for us. I work as a landscaper, and I work really hard, and I can sleep like a baby. But in July of 2012, it started that I couldn't sleep. I had insomnia for weeks. I talked to a friend. He said, you know, smart meters were put on in our neighborhood. And I said, what are smart meters? Well, I called DTE, and they said they had never heard of anyone complain about this before. So this went on for weeks. I tried to get the smart meter off my house. Finally, I set up a tent. I slept outside for months, all summer, months, probably about 4 or 5 months. My son is a patient at Mott's Children's Hospital. He has juvenile 1 diabetes. At age 14, he was diagnosed. And when the smart meter went on our house, he was 16. His A1Cs, which are the combined blood sugars, perfect. He's like the poster child at Mott's Hospital. All the doctors always say, Drew, what's your secret? Well, I give him beautiful organic food, non-GMO. He is a varsity hockey player. He works out 2 to 3 hours a day. He plays lacrosse. They practice 3 hours a day. The problem he would have is actually low blood sugars. But in November of 2012, he went in for his appointment, and his A1Cs, which were 6.8, skyrocketed to 9.5. The doctors wanted to know what was going on. What changed? Nothing changed. He still exercised 2 to 3 hours a day, ate the same diet. The smart meter was 3 feet from where he slept. I called DT. I said, please take this off. My son's suffering. And he could sleep. He couldn't feel anything, but see, his blood sugars went up. So they said, no, you know, I'm sorry. Can't do that. So I purchased an analog meter, and I put it on my house in January.
1 minute.
He had an appointment in February, and his A1Cs went back down to 7.7. I would like to ask DT. They've threatened to turn my power off. How am I going to refrigerate my son's insulin if they turn my power off? And to the Michigan Public Service Commission, this is significant. Yeah. Thank you.
Carol Gorecki from New Baltimore, are you here?
Yes.
You're coming up. George Lozanis does not want to speak. From Roseville, opposes smart meters. Catherine Cox from Southgate opposes. All these were here and just did not wish to speak but filled out cards. And Alina Shepchenko from Warren did not wish to speak and opposes the smart meters.
I need an analog option for smart meter. I always have a choice as far as if I want to use a smartphone, a Wi-Fi, or a microwave. I've always denied it. But I am forced now by an energy monopoly to have a radioactive pulses coming through my home from a meter. Other houses in my neighborhood, webs, because they'll have smart meters, that will also be coming into my house. And also from transmission towers. That's an awful lot of radioactive energy. My immune system has been compromised from Lyme disease, and as a result, I spend a lot of money on natural remedies. So naturally, I don't want a smart meter. However, DTE has told me that I can only opt out, or opt out with a dirty energy smart meter that's turned off, or with the smart meter. So therefore, I have no choice. My home should be my clean refuge, but that right has been taken away from me. So basically, I feel it's important for me as a citizen of the United States to be able to have an option and a choice. I should not have to be dictated to by a monopoly. I also know at least 3 doctors who are against smart meters because of what they cause in their patients. I'm also going to speak about a friend of mine who lives in a condominium who has her bedroom, outside the bedroom, her bedroom wall, there are 8 smart meters, 8. Now, even if she opted out for her meter, she would still have 7 smart meters that she would have no control over. This is criminal. We need to keep analog meters and at least have choices for it. And even if we do have our own choice and we keep our own analog meters,
1 minute,
we are forced to get that radiation from all the other houses in our neighborhood who have smart meters. Okay, thank you.
All right. Oh, thank you. Christine Murphy from Redford Township. Christine's coming up. Nancy, not wishing to speak, Nancy Ross, Shelby Township, opposed to smart meters. John Marisan from Royal Oak opposes smart meters, and Liz Grove from Shelby Township.
Hi, I'm Christine Murphy. I'm from Redford. Thank you for having this hearing. First of all, I will refer to these meters as smart meters. DTE is now kind of referring to them as advanced metering, but as we all know, if you look on the Internet under advanced metering, you're not going to find all the information as you would the facts if you look under smart meters. So much for transparency. When I learned about all the negative effects being caused by smart meters, I had my analog meter locked in April. Since then, either in person or by mail, I have been threatened with getting an increased electric bill, and I have been threatened with having my electricity turned off. I responded to these illegal threats by sending certified letters to Mr. Gerald Anderson, Mr. Joseph McCormick, Mr. Quackenbush, and Ms. Stephanie William. I informed them of their negligence regarding their duties to American citizens. Since then, I received mail from DTE telling me that I am obligated to either have the smart meter installed or participate in the opt-out program. Well, I have no faith that opting out would be any different than having a smart meter, and I refuse to pay an increased electric bill for your so-called opt-out meter. Based on evidence, the opt-out meter is no different than a smart meter. Both meters generate harmful, dirty electricity. My analog meter has no defects, has always worked effectively, is not obsolete, and I have always paid my bills on time. I choose to continue using my analog meter. DTE has no right to force their advanced smart metering device on me, since it really has no benefit to enhance the republic.
1 minute.
Other states that were mentioned before have analog opt-outs, and I here in Michigan want the same. Smart meters are an invasion of privacy. They're making people sick. They've caused fires. They've disrupted home appliances, circuits, fuses, wiring, and they have no benefit for the homeowner. Even the Michigan Attorney General stated that smart meters are an unproven piece of technology and too costly. Smart meters are not safe, they're not healthy, they're not green, and are an invasion of privacy. They are designed to invade our privacy and to increase profits for the utility companies. Bottom line, I'm here to tell you that I refuse to have an unproven, unnecessary piece of technology on my home. And you, our representatives, took an oath to follow the law, to uphold the Constitution, and to represent us, the people. All of us here today are asking you to take our concerns seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. James McKindles from Akiak. All right. As you're coming up, others that don't wish to speak that oppose the smart meters, Rosemary Kurzinski from Warren, Donna Reynolds from Detroit, Ted Krupa from Harrison Township, Cheryl Krupa, Bob Woollever from Holt.
Yes, my name is... It's between Sheboygan and Rogers City.
Okay.
We don't have smart meters up there yet, but I'm really fearful of them implementing. They did some tests, but it didn't work out well for them. And anyhow, my whole fear is the future, all these future things that they're talking about with the communication between all the appliances and the meter. And also they could maybe in the even further future will include our conversations in our rooms too. So that's my biggest fear. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce Reed from Birchville. Bruce, are you here?
Yes.
Okay. So he's coming up.
Jim
Hokabor opposes smart meters. Russell Lampham from Parrington, Michigan, Irene Merrick from Clinton Township.
Okay. Thank you, Representative McMillan, and your committee. We know it's kind of late here, but this is important. Has your committee seen Take Back Your Power, the video? Because I'm going to give one to every one of you when I'm finished here. If DTE and the NPSC and so forth are telling the truth, I don't know where it lies, because this video says in California, when they install the smart meters, 400 fires, 400 buildings burnt to the ground. The Supreme Court of the state of Maine outlawed these things when they were questioning the attorney that headed the power company, and when they point blank asked him, have you had any investigation as to the health or the safety issues, he stood there like a deer in a headlight look, and they immediately outlawed smart meters in that state. There's just so much, and I do want to make sure that you get this. And DTE and any other power company can walk in here and they can throw their reports on the table, but I would humbly suggest to the committee that if you have an investigation, yeah, they can bring in their experts, but I say you balance it and allow the other side to bring in their experts as well. They're doctors that are saying this is killing people, this is ruining the sperm count, this is ruining the development of young children, not to mention the cancers, and friends of mine in here that have bags full of nosebleed tissues that didn't occur until a smart meter showed up. My father, Lauren, worked for a company called Thermofiber Kinetics in the 60s. He developed parts that went on the Apollo rockets. He was also involved in energy.
One minute.
When I told him what smart meters were, he asked me to get a lock immediately for his house, and he lives in Port Huron. So I thank you for your time. I am going to give one of these to each of you, and I do ask that humbly that you would look at this when you have 90 minutes to take a good look at it and start to question what's been told to you by the power companies here today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. William Michael Redfield from Troy, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And as you're coming up, not wishing to speak but opposing or wanting her analog meter, Cecilia Simonson from Washington, Michigan, Connie Lempham from Parrington, Michelle Trosper from Macomb Township, Michael Fruhoff from Dearborn, Cliff Brunow from Wayne.
Thank you, Tom. I'm sorry my friend Martin left. Appreciate you all staying. Obviously, this is an important issue. I have two small children at my home. I'm here on behalf
of... sit down. If you could sit down, that'd be good.
Do you mind if I stand?
The video won't take capture yet, but it'll capture your waist, I guess.
Well, I'm in sales. I like to stand, if you don't mind. And I find it more respectful if it's okay with you, sir.
I would prefer if you sit down.
I'll be happy to accommodate, okay, sir. Thank you. William Michael Redfield. I'm here as the occupant of the Office of Executor for the William Michael Redfield Estate. I'm here on behalf of the people to whom I live with, including two small children and my betrothed. I'm not happy with the way this is going down. I'm very pleased that you have stuck with this thing. I've given to your assistant, I forget his name, is it Doug? He left earlier. You probably know the state statutes regarding surveillance devices. I've included those 15 copies. I'd also like to put on the record the report that Dr. Hillman put together in 2000. Well, this report from Dr. Hillman is more recent, but I wanted to put on the record also a sealed document that I got a hold of from the Michigan Public Service Commission December 8, 2005 that was willfully and intentionally trying to suppress Dr. Hillman's research as it relates to EMF. You guys have 14 copies of it in the record. I'd encourage you to read that. This is just wrong. I have two small children that we're raising, and fortunately, we don't have one right now. We were given an offer by Detroit Edison summer before last, and I promptly and swiftly refused it as the office of the executor for the estate of William Michael Redfield. And I also put a public notice in the record, too, for which was drafted last night from the office of the executor, for which you now have in your possession. Finally, I would just like to say that I echo all these folks here. I personally have been experiencing insomnia for the past year when the smart meter that was installed in my neighbor's home, which is about 45 feet from my head, and it's been horrible. So, I mean, it's a real issue. It's not mythical. These folks over here, they're coming from, I don't know where they're coming from. It's all about money. I'd like to just make one more quick comment. My sister was an executive with Detroit Edison, and she's now a CEO for Next Energy. I know why they're doing this, and it's all about profit. I'm a mechanical electrical engineer. I build, manufacture, and commission large machinery for the automotive industry.
30 seconds.
The reason why the bills are going up is because the imbalances in the home are drawing greater loads. Detroit Edison has petitioned Michigan Public Service Commission to be able to bill out the averted cost that they have so that when they exceed their capacity to deliver, they can charge the people more money. And that's what's going on here. It's wrong. Not to mention the whole issue with the sperm counts and the cancers and all the insomnias. All these issues are wrong. I beg your team, Tom, to do something about this. This is wrong. And as the occupant of the office of the executor for the estate of William Michael Redfield, there is no jurisdiction by the state, MPSC, or Detroit Edison to change the meters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Reg Kozum from Canton. He's coming up. R. Archer from Sturgis, poses smart meters. Bob Woolever from Holt, Dorothy Thike from Harrison Township, Jim and Barbara Boer from Holland, and Deborah Cole from Hazlitt. Okay, Reg.
Thank you, Chairman McMillan and council members. About a year and a half ago, I opted out to pay for an analog meter. I've been paying a monthly charge for that long. When I came home from vacation, I discovered that DTE installed a smart meter without my knowledge. My wife has complained of ringing ears, and she had to leave the house. I didn't make a connection of the smart meters until several days later. I called DTE to tell them of my situation. They said there's nothing I could do. There are complaints nationwide of tens of thousands reporting symptoms of headaches, sleep problems, ear ringing, fatigue, focus difficulties, and statistically abnormal cancers, reoccurrence of cancers. We are talking about health issues and risks. In addition to other things nobody has been talking about, is smart meters are not UL certified. Analog meters are. For our health and safety, shouldn't there be a clearly written statement on our utility bills stating utility companies are liable for fires, appliance malfunctions, medical device malfunctions, and health issues caused by smart meters? Thank you for listening to my concerns.
Thank you. Eileen Otto from St. Clair Shores. Are you here? Eileen? No? Richard Meltzer from Southfield. Richard's coming up. Those who are not wishing to speak who oppose smart meters, Keith Hilton from Sterling Heights, Bonnie Cash from Clinton Township, Chris Cole from Novi, Dennis Martini from Livonia, Roxanne Andoni from Bloomfield Hills.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to speak, and for those of you up there for gutting it out so long. Okay, I'd like to point out that I was an intervener on the MPSC case 17053. My name is Richard Meltzer, and I am unhappy with the ongoing deceptive practices regarding wireless smart meters. There were things on that case that were just not true. We never had an opportunity to talk about health. Every time it came up, it was told to the person raising the issue that this is a rate case. It's just about how much you're going to pay to opt out. And the judge systematically refused to enter any other material into the record. Being one of the later people called, there have been many really good points that others have made before me that I can probably just like eliminate. No sense to really be redundant here. But systematically, I would accuse DTE of being quite deceptive in their practices. They always talk about how little radiation comes off the meters and what a low level of intensity it is. It's just blatantly false. You can go out to YouTube and see that. We had the testimony of Diana, an industry expert, a little while ago, talking about tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of pulses per day, so on and so forth. DTE has systematically failed to objectively communicate what this program is about to its customers. You will not find any mention of the roughly 35 communities that passed resolutions against smart meters at their website. You will find no contrary information, no attempt to illuminate the issue to the public, a mechanism to have a discourse about it. It's just, hey, this stuff is great. It's the best thing since sliced bread. That's the attitude that they present. And I think it's quite intentional that though the world calls these things smart meters, and I think that they kind of did way back when, but they've gravitated to calling them advanced meters or AMIs now. And if the average person still doesn't know what a smart meter is. And when they then hear about AMIs or advanced meters, they go, well, they must be talking about something different, I guess, whatever. And I think they tried to breed that confusion.
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
You cut me kind of short here. I wanted to say that regarding the opt-out program, it's really a sham. You've heard others talk about the unhealthy electric spikes that are generated even with the radio off. But more importantly, and you had him sitting here, Mr. Robert Sitkakis from DTE, the program manager, he testified under oath before the MPSC that a smart meter with the radio deactivated offered no advantage over a traditional analog meter. So I ask, what's the point? That's the question you asked him, Representative McMillan, and you notice how he just kind of sidestepped it. They talked about you can't get analog meters anymore, huh? We have people here who got them. He says, well, they're in the field and they're like 26 years old, even though their lifespan is like 40 to 50 and at least twice as long as a digital meter. Health stuff, a lot has been said, but let me add this. Deployment is allowed, is made legal, because the FCC federal standards are way out of date and do not account for the recent huge growth in cumulative RF exposure from the ever-expanding inventory of wireless devices, smart meters, cell phones, towers, wireless routers, laptops, hotspots everywhere you go, baby monitors, home appliances that are going to be Wi-Fi enabled. Soon RF is going to be bombarding us in our cars.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
There it is. Can I say a word or two about privacy?
Very quickly.
Okay. Our phone calls, emails, internet activity, and whereabouts are now scrutinized. Soon, smart chipped household appliances will communicate via Wi-Fi with the smart meter so that not just electricity usage, but our every preference and behavioral pattern is captured as smart meter data. This encroaches on the Fourth Amendment. And claims that this data is secure are foolish, given the near daily revelations that major companies and banks are hacked. So in summary, what we are asking for is simple. We just want the analog meter, which still provides DTE the usage information they need and has been done that way for many decades.
Thank you.
I'll just close with one last statement. The FCC that has control over the standards is now headed by the former head of the Wireless Industry Association. And if that's not bad enough, in the inimitable way that the legislation and the revolving door is done these days in politics, the new head of the Wireless Industry Association used to be a head at the FCC. We're talking about Tom Wheeler,
Okay.
And Michael
Thank
Powell.
You. All right. Thank you. Susie
Brown from Clinton Township. Susie Brown, are you here? Okay. She's coming up. People not wishing to speak and opposing smart meters. Lyle Dickinson from Onaway, Michigan. Deborah Georges from Gross Eel. Eileen Otto from St. Clair Shores. Kenneth Rhodes from Macomb Township.
No, I want to speak. What?
Oh, who? Rhodes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I just wanted to also say thank you for listening to the concerns of the people.
Okay.
And I am Susie Brown. I had some questions concerning this smart meter, so I called DTE. I was told the benefits were they would not need to send out meter readers every month. There was no danger with the smart meters. I mentioned the radiation. The lady told me her supervisor researched this because her ill mother was living with her. She said it was less radiation than a cell phone. I asked her if she would be so kind as to write this on DTE letterhead and mail it to me. She said, oh, no, I can't do that. It would be against company policy. Well, if DTE has nothing to hide, why would it not be allowed? The person also told me that if we have the meter and want to opt out, all they do is turn off the radiation. Everyone knows you don't turn off radiation. It is continuous exposure 24/7. This is a fierce invasion of privacy and the 14th Amendment. We should have a choice whether we accept or reject this meter without being charged. I live in a condo, and 5 meters are on my bedroom wall where the headboard is. I was restless and couldn't sleep. I was waking up with headaches and having trouble functioning. I hired someone to move the headboard so it is on the opposite wall. I do feel better now. And I also have to say this. I feel that this is important, even though it's not directly related to the smart meter. DTE continues to claim they are helping people. They offer a $40 rebate for the older refrigerator. Receptionist went into a long dissertation on the fridge that must be plugged in and running. Contractors will check with the meter how well the appliance is running. The guys came in, looked at me odd. They said, oh, you still have it plugged in? I asked, what do they do with these appliances? I was told that they rip the appliance apart and sell the Freon to corporate companies between $400 and $800 an ounce, depending on the company. Now, that just shows that this is part of a scam from the DTE companies. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Ken Rhodes, why don't you come on up from Macomb Township. And not wishing to speak in opposing smart meters, Daniel Nash from Harrison Township, Deborah Georges from Gross Eel. All right, okay, folks, you know, you got to fill these things out right. You didn't. All right.
Okay, I'm gonna tell y'all something that you probably don't know. I appreciate all of you being here tonight. But these smart meters, most of the people here in this room don't even understand this is under Agenda 21, what they're trying to do. And this goes back to MK Ultra. All you got to do is study MK Ultra from our federal government, because I am a targeted individual in this country, and I've lost my rights under the MK Ultra program. So everybody needs to do their homework, because it's coming to everybody else with these smart meters. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Juanita Parker from Fraser. Is Juanita here? Right. No, I'm gonna. He will, but he didn't fill out the card. You got to check the right. I'll get to you. Carol Canners, Canners, from East Lansing. And as she's coming up, Mary Wolf does not wish to speak or didn't check the box, from Bloomfield Hills. Matt Ryan, Sterling Heights, and Ted Kutsis, from Clinton Township. They all oppose smart meters and don't wish to speak, from what I can tell. Okay. Go ahead.
First, I want to thank you all for being here because this issue scares me to death. I'm hypersensitive to all forms of manipulated electromagnetic radiations, such as that these smart meters will be emitting into our homes. I have trouble with just ordinary electricity. I can hear it. There's a high-pitched screaming in my head all the time that only stops when there's a power failure, and then I get a glorious moment of silence. I don't have a smart meter yet, but the Board of Water and Light is currently in our neighborhood installing them. I have great difficulty functioning in today's world where there are now so many forms of these harmful radiations all around us. I have difficulty functioning under fluorescent lights. I go brain dead trying to work on computers, and the list goes on and on. Someone said that only a small percentage of the population, maybe 3 or 4%, is hypersensitive. They may think that that's no big deal, that only that the 3% of us can just roll over and die, and it doesn't matter because the rest of the people will be fine. But I guarantee you that if they go through with this, putting these smart meters everywhere, that 3% number will change drastically. Common sense tells us this. These electro radiations are harmful to human health and to animals and plants as well. This has been known for many years, and there's tons of research available to back this up. Power companies tell us that the meters only give off safe levels of these radiations, but the very fact that they call it safe levels tells us that it is harmful, or we wouldn't need safe levels. If you think about it, we all know that X-rays are harmful to human life. If you go to your doctor and get an X-ray, the X-rays are limited to like a fraction of a second to limit your exposure to it. And they recommend that you don't get X-rays very often in order to stay within safe levels. But what if you went and got X-rayed every day? Would it still be safe levels? I don't think so. What if you got X-rayed around the clock, 24/7 for the rest of your life? Would that be safe levels? That whole concept of safe levels is just nuts. There is no safe level for something so extremely toxic and bombarded at you 24/7. The other thing is I'll skip that. People have already said that.
30 seconds.
If they put one of these meters on my home, I know I will not be able to live there anymore. But where am I going to go? Because they're putting them everywhere. And the opt-out is kind of a joke. If you still have to get one of those meters, then there's no place for me to live. And it will effectively be the end of my life. If they can do this and it's legal and they can get away with it, I just don't even recognize this country anymore. I would challenge the utility companies to give me any valid reason whatsoever that trumps my right to keep my home safe from the dangers that will turn my life into an unbearable, unlivable nightmare.
Thank you. Thank you. Melissa Whitney. Melissa Whitney from Ann Arbor, are you here?
Yeah.
And while she's coming up, Ryan Cash does not wish to speak, opposes smart meters. Glenn Cash, Kelsey Cash, Paul Adonai from Bloomfield Hills, Jim Hilton from Fife Lake, and Kristen Coaster from Harrison Township. And Kyla Climber from Harrison Township.
Okay, I am opposed to smart meters because they are bad technology that impacts some citizens more than others. First, as we've heard, many people have health problems from exposure because they are sensitive to EMF radiation that is constantly pulsating and more erratic and intense than wireless technology. Second, due to some people having more exposures than others, this is definitely a not-in-my-backyard issue. First, the health issues. Over time, it's likely that more people will become sensitive. Some people are develop chemical sensitivities and some people develop EMF sensitivities. This reminds me of the controversy about silicone breast implants 20 years ago. Many studies showed that there was no effect, yet a certain percentage of women were having intense allergic reactions. If those having a reaction were perhaps 2% of the population and the margin of error in a study is 5%, then the study is going to show that there is no effect. Studies about health effects of smart meters inherently have the same problem because at this time, only a small percentage have a known of people have a known adverse effect at this time. Perhaps the babies and children that are being exposed to now are going to be the ones that are going to be most affected in the future. Second issue is the unfair burden on some more than others. Some citizens have more exposures than others. Those who have a meter in an area of their home or business where they spend a lot of time, for example, next to their bed or next to their TV or next to their desk, this appears to have even more effect on babies and children, those in metal wheelchairs, those with chronic diseases, those who are housebound, those with pacemakers. This also includes those who live or work in a multi-unit housing or commercial business and have 5, 10, 20, or more meters right next to their living or working space. These people are getting exposure from everyone else's meter in addition to their own. As someone else said, this is criminal. This also includes those people who are the neighborhood collector meter that continually collects all the readings from 20 or 30 other meters in their area. This is what we're talking about, the mesh network of the jumping and the talking meters.
1 minute.
It is not possible to safely swap out an analog meter with a smart meter. In order to safely implement a smart meter grid with minimal impact, then the whole meter system would have to be revamped. I don't even know how you could actually do this safely. It would cost billions of dollars. If the concern is access to meters due to dogs or fences, then just have people read their own meters. I did that for 10 years when I had a rural electric company in Ohio. If I want to know how much energy I've used in an hour, I can just go out and read my meter 1 hour later. And I don't understand how opting out includes having a smart meter.
Thank you. Daniel Nash, Harrison Township.
Thank you for letting me speak. Everything I had to say tonight has been said, basically, but except for I don't understand how a utility company is going to charge you another $10 a month for something you didn't want. You're opting out. They're going to charge you $10 a month when that's already being charged to you to read your analog meter. So, to me, that's double dipping. I think that's unconstitutional. I don't think it should be allowed. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next up is Jim Sipa. Jim Sipa or Sipa from Warren. Are you here?
Okay.
And while he's coming up, others that don't want to speak and oppose smart meters. Debbie Kotsis from Harrison Township. Seems like I just asked. John from Harrison Township. Donna Stenman from somebody. Ralph Stenman. Nelda Jean White from Canton and Deborah Georges from Gross Eel.
From the testimony I've heard today and from the research I've done, I think it's pretty safe to say that smart meters are at the very best potentially hazardous to health and property. That's pretty clear. And as far as the data collection, it's been said that they don't go out and measure every light socket and every utility you have. That's true. All they do is measure your usage. They measure it every 15 seconds and record it. Nothing's happening. Nothing's recorded, just your refrigerator and basic appliances that run all the time. All of a sudden, bam, it spikes up. You just turned on your television. You got home, you hit your garage door opener. Every electrical device you have has a certain current draw that can be measured. Okay, they can look at that and go, oh, he just came home. Okay, then he goes in house. Okay, there is another shorter spike. Okay, That means he just disabled his security alarm. Okay, then he goes in the house. Okay, he just turned on the television. All right, and later on in the day, okay, he turned off his television. Okay, later in the day, okay, he turned on his computer. Okay, later in the day, he turned off his computer. They can monitor your every step from the moment you come home to the moment you go to bed, and the moment you get up, and the moment you go to work. How is that not data collection? How is that not eavesdropping? Can you tell me that? So potential. So what I'm saying is, smart meters are potentially hazardous to my health, and they are data collection devices.
1 minute.
Why in the world would I allow anybody to put a hazardous data collection device on my home?
Nobody wants.
And it, with no benefit whatsoever to me.
Right.
And if I want to opt out, you know what? They'll turn off the transmitter that sends the data to DTE directly. There's another transmitter on there that they can read from the street. I don't think anybody mentioned that. So basically, there's another transmitter that's still operating, even on the opt-out meter. So come on, this is a no-brainer. I mean, what kind of what country am I living in when my government tells me that I have to install a potentially hazardous device that collects data on my personal behavior on my home? My government is telling me I have to do that. How is that right? I am begging you, please, do what is right and allow us to keep our analog meters so they can't monitor our every move in our home. Can you please just do what is right? I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis and a handful of other autoimmune diseases. I cannot take any more pain, please.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
James Whitehouse. James Whitehouse from Warren. He's coming up. Others that don't want to speak and oppose smart meters. Laszlo Slomovitz from Ann Arbor. George Gemmer. Heather Pavelek from Clinton Township, Ron Sasek from Westland, John Tatar from Farmington Hills, and Julianne Schalk from Shelby Township.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our concerns and to hear our stories.
I apparently didn't check the box that said you wanted to speak.
All right. My name is Jim Wickhouse from the City of Warren, Michigan. Smart meters are not only for electric, but they include water meters. The City of Warren is installing water meters, and because I challenged the acceptance of the water meter, my water's been shut off, as well as at least three other homes in the city. I've been without water for now for over 6 months. We've heard about the UN, but not in Warren. I was in compliance with the city ordinance. I had a remote meter on my house. I had a $360 credit with the city water department, but I was still shut off. Miraculously, after I filed a suit with the City of Warren, the ordinance was changed. It was removed from the book and replaced with another one, but nobody knows how it got there or who approved it. I filed a suit in the Macomb County courts, and although that the judge agreed with me that we should have an opt-out, argument was rejected. I've had an appeal in with the Michigan Court of Appeals waiting for a hearing date. In the meantime, my water remains off. I didn't get a stay. The attorney that's representing the City of Warren told me that I could buy my water from the big box store and I could use the water from my pool. If I was in prison on a death row and I had an appeal in process, would the state execute me while I was waiting for my decision, only to find out later that I was innocent? I'm being punished while I'm waiting for a decision from the courts. City ordinances are subject to Michigan law. I urge you to call the mayor of Warren and tell them to put my water back on. Thank you.
Eileen Otto from St. Clair Shores. Eileen Otto. Patricia Vares from Allen Park. Renee McInerney from Allen Park. Karen Strode from Ypsilanti. Are you here? Okay. Wishing not to speak or didn't check the box they want to speak. Linda Reif from Elba Township. Mary Ann Ocon from Shelby Township. Joanne Vitiello, not telling the city. Judith Walkins from Novi. And Sue Stroud from Rochester. Okay.
Thank you very much for listening to our concerns and for the right to comment today. My name is Karen Strode. I'm a resident of Ypsilanti. I'm a pharmacist. Most of my comment has already been talked about. I just wanted to say that the people here today are here because they were able to connect the dots and figure out that there was a link between this new technology and their symptoms. However, I'm certain that there are thousands of other people out there who don't have the information to make that connection. And so I just wanted to mention that. In my case, I was given a heads up about smart meters due to some electric shock sensations that I experienced on Harsin's Island. At the time, I had no clue what a smart meter was. I was in the kitchen of this cottage that my some people in my family own, and talking to somebody, and all of a sudden started getting these extremely painful sensations that were pulsating like once every minute or two. And I had no clue what was going on. They stopped when I moved to another location in the cottage. I wasn't touching any electrical appliance or anything, so I was just really puzzled as to what was going on. So I wasn't aware of my proximity to the electric meter on the outside wall, which was just a couple of feet where I stood. So fast forward 2 years later, I have been diagnosed with electrical hypersensitivity at that point, and found information on the internet about smart meters and realized that there's no way that I could have this device on my home.
30 seconds.
Okay. So anyway, because of the information on their website, that Harsin's Island was a part of the pilot project for DTE, I was able to connect the dots. So right now, I don't have a meter, but I am affected by my neighbor's meters. Extremely strong, especially right after the install. I just wanted to conclude with information from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. They have a study that was done in 2013 by a physician in Australia where they have a double-blind documented 92-case series done under placebo-controlled conditions. And this study, first of its kind, clearly demonstrates adverse health effects in the human population from smart meter emissions. So you might hear people say that there's never been studies done. Well, there is this study out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Rebecca Marr or Moore from Ann Arbor, are you here? Okay. She's coming up. Others not wishing to speak oppose smart meters. Kimberly Marie Koch from Rochester Hills. Jennifer Zmarzik from Madison Heights. All right. Go ahead.
Thank you. I, too, am one of the people who reacted severely to my smart meter.
Mine was placed in my home in the March of 2012. It was early enough that I had never heard anything negative about smart meters. So my reaction came as a total surprise. It was so severe and so immediate, I didn't even last 24 hours in my home. I had to get out, and I went to a friend's. It was before the opt-out was official, so getting the meter off seemed like an incredible feat, but I did get the alternative meter. What I can say is it may have helped a little, but it didn't help much. That meter is almost as bad as the smart meter. I know that there are people like me who would be very willing to pay for an analog meter and its installation just for the right to have one. In my case, that would be a drop in the bucket compared to the thousands of dollars I have put into doing remediations in my home to try to get my home back to what it was before. I'm fine when I leave my home. The symptoms return when I come back. Needless to say, in the last 2.5 years, I've spent a lot of time traveling or just doing things to be out of my house. I, too, like some of the other people, are very concerned about children. The whole industry is just too new for anyone to say we definitively know something is safe. We don't have even the short-term studies, let alone long-term studies. About a year ago, Yale did a study. It was using cell phones, and they linked neurological developmental problems in fetuses that were exposed to cell phones during pregnancy. The results were so convincing that the researchers at Yale recommended that pregnant women not carry a cell phone near the womb and avoid cell phone use as much as possible.
1 minute.
Okay. That's with cell phones. But, you know, we have children that are near these meters. That's it, I guess. Everything else has been said. I would really like to have a free opt-out, and I think an analog meter is warranted. And also, it hasn't been mentioned, but at this point, businesses cannot opt out. And I believe that business should also have the opportunity to opt out of smart meters.
Thank you. Mary Joseph from Livonia. Are you here? Are you here? Yes, okay. Not wishing to speak or not checking the box, Jeff Pelloni, or Greg Pelloni from Shelby Township, Margaret Minarek from Macomb, Sheila Pomeransky from Shelby, and Sharon Miller from Shelby. Okay.
Thank you for your help. A lot of the points I was going to discuss have been spoken, and the main thing I wanted to say to begin is that the worst-case situations for anyone living near the banks and apartment buildings, it's especially children and the elderly, it's or the elderly who have compromised situations to begin with, it's very painful for them, and I just can't believe that they can't take them off, especially when there's numerous ones right by their homes. And I also wanted to mention that the utilities say that the transmitters will reduce waste and promote efficiency and conservation. But the foreseeable facts are that one day we'll probably be paying dearly to have our air conditioner on in the peak time of the day. And that's wonderful for the green devotees, but people on budgets and the poor and the sick and the elderly, it's not very fair. And the utilities deceptively use the word median as the average in their charts, even though median has no applicability in smart meter cases other than to reduce the numbers. PG&E in Texas did admit that the meters emit up to 190,000 times per day, and when they were tested, it was revealed that intense bursts of microwave radiation happened at least 6 times every 2 minutes. And predictably, the smart meter network security can be and probably will be breached by computer criminals, utility employees, and even foreign enemies who could shut down the grids at times of crisis.
30 seconds.
With a smart grid, anybody with $80 can buy a smart meter, reverse engineer it, and figure out how to attack the grid. There may be hundreds of people here today, but each one of us knows family and friends and acquaintances that when you bring up the subject of smart meters, one, they don't want them, and two, they're really mad about them. Three, they would eagerly sign a petition to keep their analogs.
Thank you.
They want the decision to be put on the next ballot.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judith Lundy from Dearborn Heights. Are you here? David Stroud from Rochester Hills. Are you here? Oh, yeah, there. And not wishing to speak and opposing smart meters, Troy Simonson from Romeo.
I would like to change that. I'd like to speak a word or two.
Barbara Schmidt from Hazlitt. Okay.
December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt uttered those famous words right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Americans were shocked and dismayed at this sneak attack. December 2nd, 2014, we are gathered together here today to prevent another sneak attack. We want our voices to be heard. We do not support smart meters. We want an opt-out allowing us to retain our analog meters, or for those who want to get their analog meters back. Our health issues are real and many. Our concerns for safety must be addressed. The privacy in our homes must be preserved. Smart meters must be stopped, and an opt-out must be allowed, as is the case in Maine, Vermont, Oregon, and California and other states. No sneak attacks. We just want what's fair. Thank you, Representative Tom McMillan, and your esteemed colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you. Nan Nelson from Ann Arbor. Are you here?
Here.
Okay. I forgot about 10 more, just so...
I'll be very brief.
Oh, that's fine.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for holding these hearings. My story is very similar to many of those who have already spoken. I live in Ann Arbor in a townhouse community, and the smart meter was installed against my will. The installer came to the door. I told him I did not want it. I was distracted because I was on my way to work. He went ahead and installed it anyway, and then I kind of forgot about it that day. And then I suffered the worst insomnia of my life, and so on and so forth. I feel that I've been driven out of my house or struggled to live within my house. I've spent, to this date, over $1,000 in shielding materials, radiation testing devices, books, information, spent countless hours researching the problem. but I just want to make a couple of points and reiterate the fact that the health effects are cumulative and that even though people may not feel affected, everyone is affected. And we need to apply the precautionary principle, especially for future generations, for children. And an analog option really is a good step in that direction. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jessica Bespalko from Roseville.
Mr. Chairman, are you going to let Jenny Z have a chance to speak?
Just one lady. I didn't mark the box.
She's on here. Yeah, I've got her on here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. McMillan, and all of the committee. My name is Jessica Bespalko. I'm 20 years old. I'm from Roseville, Michigan. I have concerns for my generation and future generations saturating the planet with wireless technology, which hasn't been proven to be safe, and in fact, there has been growing evidence of potential health risks. Do we really want to take risks with young people that are not fully developed and with all of our pets and all animals not knowing how this is affecting them and our planet in general with this mass exposure? How about the bees that are so important to our future food supply? There is some evidence this technology could be affecting them. Is it wise for everyone to be guinea pigs in a huge scientific experiment? Families like mine should have the right to preserve our perfectly working analog meter, which performs the same as the advanced meter if we choose, and people, after getting a new meter that decide it's not working out well for them, should have the right to revert back to an analog meter. Even better, this whole experiment should be reversed until complete safety and privacy can be proven. In addition, I am ashamed that our government was willing to use our tax dollars to fund installation of a privacy-invading class 2B carcinogen on every building in America. Our freedom is being taken away from us, and this is crossing the line. Analog meters only, and power to all the people, not the sneaky, snaky, money-grubbing energy companies. And to all who have shared their statements today about the serious health problems they are experiencing due to the smart meters, I hope with all my heart that the representatives from the energy companies here today have at least a slightest bit of sympathy and consideration like any human being should. Thank you.
Ann Foot from Jenison. Ann Foot, are you here?
She's gone.
Okay. Paul Meyer from Grand Rapids. Is Paul Meyer here? Okay. And all I have left is Ron Yarborough, Suzanne Yarborough, John Tatar, Ron Sasek, Jennifer Smarzik, and Troy Simonson. It's the only ones I've got as far as cards. Okay?
Thank you for letting me be up here. Thank you for Representative McMillan to holding this meeting today. This group today knows of the problems on the way, plus the growing questions to be addressed about smart meters. But the bond between public and private partnerships are changing from the growth of capitalism to what I question as a force of fascism. As we complain to our Attorney General, Public Service Commission, and even the legislators, overwhelmingly they are not replying. I would think a meter reader spending all day window peeking and listening to one's home telephone conversations would be wrong. Now Michigan is pushing the smart meter network. smart cameras, smart lights, and thanks to smart technology, you will not be the only one talking with your oven at home anymore. But when you change from analog to smart meters, it seems okay to invade one's privacy. It's okay to tell users of power how much they will receive despite their needs. I see when the Constitution may limit government bodies. So to partner with private businesses has its positive sides. First, they are not subject to FOIA information. Second, there is a belief that when the dust settles on the smart meter debate, all types of tracking, monitoring, and power control will take place.
1 minute.
Smoothly. All made possible by the contract between the customer and the power supplier. Listening to the people in Arizona smart meters no longer are able to get cold air out of the air conditioners, thanks to smart meters. Back to Michigan, we have a growing practice of you do not need it, or I'm sorry, if you do not like it, you do not have to buy it. Is anyone doing anything where they're actually going ahead turning down their electricity for this winter? This is why we need MCL 950.539 to be enforced on the smart grid. This is why we'd all like to see House Bill number 4315 needed to pass. This protects the Michiganders from the attack of the smart meters on Michigan residents. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ron and Suzanne Yarbrough from Livonia. Just have about four left.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right, you want me to go first?
No, you go first.
Hi, thank you for having this hearing today. I really appreciate it. To the legislators in the state of Michigan, DTE, Advanced Metering Infrastructure, AMI, is a crime on all humanity and a crime on the whole environment. These so-called meters are a trespass of a monopoly, denying me the right to complete and unrestricted, quiet enjoyment of my property, blanketing the whole environment with non-ionizing radiation is reckless and socially irresponsible. DTE does not have an easement to put on anyone's property an antenna/transceiver implementing their communications network without anyone's consent and or compensating anyone for taking their data without their consent. Isn't that considered data theft? I own the rights to my data in my home, and that is data theft. DTE's license should be revoked, and the MPSC should be dissolved for allowing this. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette stated, these meters are no economic benefit to the customer. Who are they a benefit to? DTE? All the while, the Attorney General's office of 600 people would never investigate any complaint of wrongdoing. I ask, where is our Consumer Protection Agency here in Michigan? It is non-existent. Where is the investigation of this wrongdoing? My health has deteriorated severely since the introduction of smart meters in my neighborhood. Sleepless nights, headaches, ear pain that I want to scream out really loud because it hurts so bad. And all the while, 180 people at the Michigan Public Service Commission never investigate any complaint. Never. DTE will never admit any wrongdoing.
30 seconds.
Fraud is the concealment of that which should have been disclosed. which deceives and is intended to deceive another so that he shall act upon it to his legal injury, Brainerd Dispatch Newspaper Company versus Crow Wing County. And it exists if some deceitful practice of willful device resorted to with the intent to deprive another of his right or in some manner to do him any injury.
Okay, thank you.
There's five cases about
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
There's data stealing.
Okay, thank you. Ron?
Okay, what we have here basically is a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are in a republic, and in a republic the people are sovereign. Sovereign means supreme rulers. Reps are elected to serve the public or the people. We are in a republic and not a democracy. House Bill 4315 should be passed, but that doesn't really go far enough. What we're going for here is the removal of all the AMI meters in Michigan. This mesh network from AMI, home area network, and Wi-Fi blankets the entire area. Okay, getting onto some, there's like 33 points on this, and I'll touch on a few of them. Easements, DTE only has an intermittent easement, one which is used only at times. DTE does not have a continuous easement. There's no easement for a surveillance device on a private home. The customer needs to be compensated for that if he has one. The Congressional Research Study of February 2012 stated AMI meters are surveillance devices. It's a violation of 750539 A and D in the Michigan Constitution, Article 4, Section 51, that the legislature must pass laws for the public health, and that's a primary concern. There's no allowance for installing radio transmitter, nor is there permitted the function of a mesh network. The definition of a utility is so applied in practical affairs to the advantage in ordinary pursuits of life and enjoyment. Frivolity and mischievousness, fraud and dangerous inventions, they cease to be a utility when they do that. Touching on the opt-out, there's no opt-out for apartments and condos, and it's discriminatory to low-income people, ill people, clustered housing, and the disabled. On the health issue, meters are inherently unsafe. This is not known by the ordinary consumer. Utility companies are liable for damages.
One minute.
Hacking. The entire smart grid is vulnerable to a cyber attack. The group Anonymous has called on its members to target energy companies. And the home area network is easily hacked into and fake readings are reported. Encryption. Data not encrypted until it reaches the collector's antennas. And it's easy to get the remote disconnect codes. The hacker on History Channel claims that he hacks into Skynet, that's our satellite system. He said any radio frequency can be hacked into. Cost. PG&E did a study over 3 months. PG&E in San California did a study over a three-month period on two houses, one with an analog, one with a AMI meter. Over a three-month period, AMI meter used 37 more kilowatt hours than the analog did. PG&E has 10 million customer base. Over a one-year period would make $430 million. Costs exceed the benefits. There is little or to no benefit for the consumer. With debatable energy savings, thus the cost exceeds any possible benefits. That's Connecticut Attorney General George Jepson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not done yet.
Thank you very much. John Tatter from Farmington Hills. Tatter?
Tater.
Tater.
Okay. All right.
Good evening, Representative McMillan and committee, and thank you for giving me the time to speak to you. I am kind of incensed that I have to take time out from my daily activities to come down to Lansing to explain to you your job. You were hired to do the bidding for the people, and that is what you get paid for, to handle the day-to-day political issues that we the people hired you for. How many of you have received an email followed up by a certified letter? should get it today if you didn't get it yet. This letter removes your plausible deniability claim. You can no longer hide behind the I don't know status when you become involved in the future litigation.
Who are you talking to?
I am speaking on the record, sir.
Okay, to us? I mean,
not necessarily to you, but on the record. I want it on the record.
Okay? Sure.
You did get a document from me, I'm sure. When you become involved with the further litigation for malfeasance, dereliction of duty, and usurpation of your delegated authority, in short, for not acting de jure, as per Norton versus Shelby County, I assume by now that all public functionaries are aware of the Declaration of Independence that says we the people are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that the governments are instituted among men deriving their just power from the consent of the people. Also, that you as state Michigan politicians have taken Article 7 or Article 11, Section 1, Oath of Public Office, which says you will support the Constitution. I further suspect that you understand, according to the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, says that the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republic form of government. Assuming that you are lawfully seated as public functionaries, and that MPSC likewise is lawfully seated, MP by MCLA, Chapter 15, stating in short that you swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, we the people are in charge in a republic, not DTE, not MPSC.
1 minute.
I would like to point out, since I'm running out of time, that we the people are sovereign as per, and by the way, you have received two copies of my statement here, that sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and the source of the law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people by whom and for whom all governments exist and act. And the law is defined, and it is the limitations of power. I want to ask a few more questions before I finish here. One of the questions is, who gave DTE the authority to impose their technology upon the citizens of Michigan without the citizens' authorization?
If you could wrap it up.
I will, sir. Okay. By extorting money, by threatening, and by ultimately shutting off the powers of the citizens who do not comply with DTE's wishes. Who gave them the authority to usurp the obligation to the state citizens? 2, has DTE or anybody done an environmental impact study? This is federal law. Any kind of RF radiation needs to have a federal environmental impact study, and
was
this done?
Thank you.
One more. What power does MPSC have, and can MPSC also threaten citizens of Michigan? MPSC was designed to control DTE, not the people. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ron Sasek from Westland.
Ron Sasser from Westland. Thank you for this time. And continuing with what Mr. Tater was talking about, my question to you is, as public functionaries, are you de jure officers occupying a de jure office? My background is in the law, and I suspect that some of you have the same background. Read Norton versus Shelby County and understand what your job as a public functionary is and entails. We as sovereign citizens delegate limited authority to our public functionaries to perform duties that we don't have the time to do. If a news person was in here covering this on the 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock news, they would report, look at the democracy in action. That would be wrong. It should be, look at the republic in action. This is the people, the citizens, that have only delegated limited authority for you, and you've delegated limited authority to the MPSC, and the MPSC has limited authority to deal with the public utilities. This is why the Republic has been stood on its head. This is the Republic in distress. This is why, again, smart meters, it's a no-brainer. It's up to the citizen to want or not want, regardless of harm, regardless of spying, regardless of any other issue. If we live in a republic, we're in control. If we don't, DTE can do whatever it wants to do, regardless of what we complain about, regardless of what we see as a danger, regardless of what we see as a harm. But we do live in a republic. The United States is a republic. The state of Michigan is a republic. Our counties are republics, and the cities are republics. That's why several speakers have said, what kind of country and state do we live in? We live in a republic if we can keep it. And with that being the case, a lot of the talk in the news never stems from this to say, again, we're mislabeled as a democracy. I would hate to have a democracy that's ruled by mob law, mob rule. In the republic, we're in control.
1 minute.
And it's not to be authoritative. It's to say, you have a job to do. We have delegated our authority for you to be upset. You don't get upset. You take testimony, and I'm appreciative that you are, but we've seen what's happened. Laws get blocked. Committees don't report bills out of committee. They never come up for a vote. That's why people have showed up today. This is not the democracy in action. This is the Republic in action. And I'll end with this. When you read Norton, are you a de jure officer occupying a de jure office? Thank you.
Okay. Troy Simonson from Romeo. And then Jennifer is going to wrap it up. Troy Simonson from Romeo.
Representative McMillan, thank you so much. I am so grateful for everything you have done for us in this regard, for the Bill 4315, for your support for it. And when I left Romeo this morning, I just couldn't tell you how much I wanted to be here to support our ability to have an analog meter as an opt-out. And after hearing all of the testimony that I've heard today, the medical problems that many, many, many people have, the medical problems that more people are going to have, their limited ability to control their own life because of meters on adjacent buildings, especially in condominiums and apartments, I realize I came here for the wrong reason. We should be getting rid of all smart meters. They shouldn't be allowed anywhere at all. Not just an opt-out meter for an analog meter if we want it. There should be no smart meters in Michigan.
Thank you. Then finally, Jennifer Zmarzik from Madison Heights. Our final person testifying for this committee. This is our last hearing for the session.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I am a very strong opponent to smart meters due to my personal health findings. I have submitted a packet with documentations to use to supporting my points. We are the circuit in smart technology. Any being that is alive, humans, animals, fish, bugs, are all being used as a conduit for smart technology. I am EMF sensitive. I cannot technically explain how meters work. I do, however, know by a physical marker of pain in areas of my body when I am near a direct line of microwaves. My symptoms are immediate. I feel as if I'm being electrocuted. My heart begins to palpitate. My thinking becomes extremely slow or stopped, and I am unable to concentrate. Back in the early 90s, I sustained brain damage from car accidents. I stuttered for several years. I sounded and I thought like a child. My nervous system was short-circuited. Short-term and long-term memory loss was a big part of my struggle. My vision and hearing abilities were stunted so much I could only take in maybe 40 to 50% of what was before me. I am not giving you this information for pity. I give this to you to make you aware that nerve damage, which is electrical, is one of the main problems I suffer when microwave technology is in direct contact or near contact with me. It has been 18 years of intense therapy to bring me to the person I am today. I have worked very hard to learn to speak and to form sentences as I am in this speech. I have taught myself, with the help from therapists and doctors, to drive, to see, and to hear fully, and to live a full quality life where I can feel accomplished and strong. 3 years ago, when the smart meters were put in my city, I began having memory lapses again. I became very scared. I struggle with my schedule and daily chores. I cry because of the shame I feel going backwards after all the efforts I've made in the last 15 years before the meters were put in. I am scared for myself and for everyone who does not see the consequences of this technology.
1 minute.
I am being forced to take a smart meter by DTE who hasn't given me the respect of honoring my doctor's request. From the date of May 27, 2011, for 3 years, DTE did not install a meter because I had a doctor's letter. One day, I came home and I began having symptoms of nausea, a rash on my neck, and convulsive vomiting. I thought I had the flu. My husband noticed a large rash on my neck. At about 8 p.m. the next day, my husband discovered the meter. I immediately knew it was not the flu. I believed DTE that they would respect my doctor and my note, in my letters. They didn't warn me in any way. They didn't give me a letter, a phone call. They didn't call my doctor to find out if I had improved to be able to put it in. They snuck it on my house. I cannot afford to move. If I do, DTE will force me to take one wherever I go. I follow DTE's instructions. I like to use a visual for those who may be unable to comprehend my pain. Hot dogs, they are cooked in a microwave, are cooked from the inside out. Everyone has an occasional half-cooked hot dog, cold on the outside but hot on the inside. We all are that hot dog when we are exposed to microwaves via smart meters, cell towers, cell phones, basically anything cordless. We are being cooked from the inside out.
Okay.
This, I believe, is why many are not noticing the pain EMF sensitives do. Healthy bodies do not regulate pain from the inside of the body so easily. EMF sensitives like me have inside the body issues that are sensitive to pain a lot quicker. So we are noticing there is a problem.
Wrap up.
EMF sensitives are the canary in the coal mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, that wraps up our testimony, about 5 hours worth. I think we heard somewhere around 70 and another 80 or 90 submitted cards. Truly appreciate your interest. This is our final hearing for this Oversight Committee. I do want to thank Representative Robinson for staying. She and I are in different parties, but very kindred spirits in many ways, and I really appreciate her. We know that there's not a bill in this committee to move out, even if we had it. It's in another committee. I would urge you, next session is a new time, and I think this is a good this could be a good catalyst. It's recorded. It's going to be on the website, and the material you submitted is on the record, and we held a hearing a few months ago, and I've talked to the legislator who said that's actually really moved things along for the issue that that they were concerned about. So this could be something that jumpstarts this issue, and hopefully we'll get it addressed in a timely manner. So thank you all. For no other business coming before the committee, we are adjourned.